We'll just chat with. I'm joined with Stephen Day today. And how are you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm okay. And what's today's topic about, Steve?
I think today we're going to go over arousal levels in training and competition, how some people can mess that up by changing too much on what they're doing, and then also just touching on what to do when that kind of happens and how to sort of control that.
Yeah. So, Steve, is more always better in this case?
I don't think so. I think if we get into like a case of trying to go to that next level on competition day, then you're always going to run into issues, right? Because it's something that you're not used to. So I like to think as training, right? It's practice and to practice skills in what we're doing on the platform. We get so many opportunities within training to be able to practice so many different things. So rather than just like, no, we're not just practicing squat, bench, and deadlift. We're practicing the way that we prepare for them, the way
Compete.
that we get ready for them.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess your main point was to compete as we train, right? To basically
Yeah,
just train the
essentially.
way we compete. Yeah. And I guess we can do that, but there is sort of a limit, right? Like we don't get referees when we train. We don't get crowds cheering for us when we train. So how do we sort of use that to our advantage on the competition platform?
Okay, so I don't necessarily think it's like using it to an advantage. I think it's just doing something so repetitive, like powerlifting training that we do so frequently. You know, we have so many times to practice it that rather than using it to an advantage, which, you know, some people will and they get more hype because they like to perform in front of people and they like to put on a show. If you can understand, like within your inner self, that an ability have an ability to be able to kind of block that out at the same time, so it doesn't become much different to training. So it doesn't matter. You know, I know people talk about like training environment and training with people can be so much more beneficial for an athlete, which I do agree with. I think definitely, because you know, everyone's pushing each other and pushing each other all the time. But it also becomes a skill in itself to be able to train alone quite frequently as well, and to be able to do stuff by yourself, like push yourself hard when you don't have a team around you or training partners or something like that, which is essentially what happens on meet day. Like you have a crowd and you have people around you, but you don't have training partners on meet day. You have someone that's running your numbers for you, and then you kind of have yourself. So you have yourself that's out the back to try and deal with these arousal levels and make sure that you don't go over the limit. You know, practice what you do in training and then take that to the platform. So when you get on the platform, there isn't anything that's going to get in your way to make you perform differently. Because if you get over aroused or something like that, and you get this, you know, this misgroove or something because you got too hyped and then didn't think about the actual lift that was happening at the moment because you had all this crowd around you know, refs in front of you as well, which are watching you lift and making sure that you lift to standard, then you're also gonna set yourself up for failure at some point.
Yeah, and I guess more isn't always better because there used to be this theory called the drive theory for arousal, and it was sort of disproven by the more known inverted U theory now. So inverted U theory is basically when you find this optimal level of arousal, which isn't too high that you sort of misgroove in comp, or it's not too low where you don't feel challenged at all. So we are sort of moving into this sports psychology where we understand that more isn't always better now, because that was what we used to think. And I guess for everyone, they have their different inverted U's. And how do we sort of understand what is optimal for ourselves?
Okay, so I think it's just something that you can do repetitively. So it, you know, it takes it out of you. You know, it can induce more fatigue and make you feel more taxed and tired if you live on this such high arousal, you know, level baseline so frequently. But if you get so used to, you know, using a ton of arousal, slamming ammonia, and doing all this, then I think that that's fine. Like if that's where you like to kind of live in where you train, then that's where you're going to be able to go on meet day regardless. It's when we, I guess, don't push ourselves as hard in training and don't meet those arousal levels that when they get so different to meet day, that's when the issues start to arise. So it's just having a conversation, I guess, with yourself and understanding that, okay, like when I'm going to competition, if I'm training and I'm calm, collected, you know, all this trust is within myself and my confidence is through the roof because of the way that I train calm, then it's just taking that to meet day and not letting, you know, all these external things come into play and really take effect on what you're doing.
Yeah. So I guess it's sort of trial and error as well. Just understanding how you work and what you require to be able to put your best on the platform.
Yeah, for sure. So
yeah,
I think if you don't require too much, then don't change that when you get to the platform. If that's not what works for you, you know, putting on a show. So some people are showmen, right? They love to do that. And they will rise up to the occasion when it gets to meet day because they'll have the crowd in front of them and they can use that to their advantage because they love to put on a show and they love to get everyone kind of involved. Whereas we do have other people who aren't necessarily like that, and they stay more, you know, calm in training. They don't get too hyped. They don't bounce around, and then so they need to just be able to learn to kind of take that to what they're doing on the platform, and then they'll be completely fine because there's no real change then happening.
So now that we understand what works for, I guess, showmen and what works for more composed athletes, do you feel like different lifts need different levels of arousal? Like, let's say squat, bench, and deadlift, because I feel like they do require different levels of arousal. So, but before that, I'd like to hear your thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It took a while for myself to kind of realize that as well. Like, you know, squat for me is where I get pretty hot, to a point, you know, that it is fatiguing. It does kind of drain me and make me a little bit tired. And then bench is like kind of just like calm down period where we get to lay down a bit. it's not exactly like that, but you know what I mean? Like we can relax, you know, it's where I'll start to talk to people a little bit. Especially during like warm-ups and stuff like that. And then, you know, we get through bench and then that's done. And then we get onto deadlifts and it's kind of like going back to that same kind of level that I had for squats, building back up. So if we were to stay there the whole time through squat, bench, and deadlift,
it's going to be fucking tiring, man.
It's tiring. Yeah. I've tried to do that before, and every time I get to deadlifts, I'm just like gassed. I've got nothing left to give. I'm tired, like, and then things never moved really that well because I'd essentially wasted so much energy staying so aroused and so like hyped that I just had nothing left to give when I got to pools. Even though, no matter how hard I was trying, I just couldn't find it.
Yeah, and it's not unusual to see that happen for so many athletes because I guess bench is a very technical lift, right? And with it being so technical compared to squat and deadlift, I'm not saying that squat and deadlift are not technical at all. I think they are. It's just that bench just requires more of you. And with that sort of level requirement of how technical it can be, I guess it will also affect the arousal threshold that bench as a lift can undergo, because you turn the switch too much and then like the amount, the chances that you miss group would just skyrocket compared to let's say squat and deadlift, where like their thresholds are higher just because it's not as technical as bench.
Yeah, 100%. I think like the big thing there is like almost like we'll get to like the way that we kind of want to be on meet day, because we are training so frequently, like the lifts, you know, and we get so many chances to practice. Like, we want meet day to be automatic, right? We don't want to be kind of think too mindless. Much, like as little as we can. We want it to be mindless. And bench gets to a point where it can't be that mindless because there's so many different moving parts within it, within the lift itself, even in training, right? So, you know, we obviously have the bench, our feet, you know, the barbell, you know, we've got to wait for side rests to let us go, let our hips be down. And then we've got to wait for a start, press wrap, command.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have so much more that's going on around with bench press that if we're too hyped and we're not thinking straight,
you're just going to miss one of it. You're
going to forget something.
Yeah.
You will. You'll either won't set your feet properly or, you know, won't you'll slide up too far down the bench or something like that. There's so many things that can just have, you know, margin for error if you are not thinking straight and getting too aroused. You know, unless that works for you in training, then it's obviously fine. But, you know, when we look at a few more calls than deadlift, but essentially they're just like hit depth.
And just ring for a down command.
Just like stand up. Yeah.
There's not much to it.
Yeah, and it should be that mindless that by the time we get to the competition or meet day or put to the platform, that we don't have anything to think about because our body's going to organize itself in the way that we've been training it to through countless sessions to get onto the platform.
Yeah. And I guess one more thing to talk about would be state and trade anxiety. So it's a form of anxiety where you sort of have it, you sort of gain it through external circumstances like the crowd, referees, stuff like that, competitors. And trade anxiety comes from within. So it's more about yourself and your personality, how you approach competition, stuff like that. So how would you say that these two forms of anxiety sort of bind together and I guess form this sort of arousal threshold that you have on meet day?
So for myself or for just the general sort of population?
I guess you can share about yourself first and like you can talk about in general as well.
For myself, I'm not too worried about anyone or anything. Like, I know that I've done everything that I can do before I get to the platform. So obviously, like, I used to try and, you know, I'd look at what other people are doing or I think about like the crowd and, you know, failing in front of them or something like that and what that would mean and then all of these kinds of things. But I then got to a point, I guess, within my own career where I was just like, you know, like what I'm going to put on the bar, I'm going to be confident in and it's not something that I should miss. Like, regardless, like I've probably done it in training. So taking away that and not like I don't use the crowd to an advantage at all and to try and lift more than what I've already lifted because I just don't kind of do that. I'd rather lift more on my own than I do on the platform. And I've done that for quite some time. So I kind of just like I don't want to miss in front of people. So that's why half the time I'll put less on the bar than what I have done in training. And then I'll walk out just confident. I'll be confident all the time because I know I'm going to hit it. So I don't really get any sort of anxiety over what's on the bar or anything like that. Like the biggest thing for me is just like making sure that I'm adhering to the rules and to commands.
Then have you worked with athletes who like just full on use the crowd I guess in the chances where you ever put something which I guess it's more than what they pull in training, have you seen athletes like that? Like, have you worked with athletes like that?
I think this comes intrinsically where like most of the times, if I'm going to put something that I'm not like entirely sure about someone being able to hit, it's going to be on a last pull and it's going to be for some kind of placing to get them, to either win or podium or something like that. And I think this comes intrinsically, like we'll put it on that and it might be a little bit out of reach for what we were planning, but they'll be, and they can go and hit it. And I think that comes from just their inner self and the inner belief of them really just like wanting to win that bad, that they'll just give absolutely everything that they got. And then just it kind of happens, I suppose. And I'm not sure if that comes from, the crowd or the meet day itself. I think it just comes from their inner self and just wanting to do it that badly that they find this other gear that they've never been able to find in training and they can take it there and really, do something that they haven't done before.
Yeah, so being placed in those circumstances, I guess in the end, training can be sort of different from competition because what your athletes experience, that sort of drive to win, it's not really present in training. You can still train like you want to win, but like on the platform, I feel like it's just a different beast.
Yeah, well, you get put into a corner, right? And you've got to fight your way.
Yeah.
If you're going for that last pull to kind of win the competition, then it's a completely different scenario to training, and you're back against the wall. You got to fight out, and then that's when people will show what they're kind of truly made of and what they're capable of doing. Whereas, you don't get put in that position in training. You don't get put in that.
Yeah,
this is
training, just training.
Do or die kind of. Yeah. Training. It's not a do or die kind of situation, which is where I kind of said like I like to do things that I've done by myself in training. And then kind of do less on the platform. Like I put myself in like a do or die, no spot squatting kind of situation where it's just like, this is a PR and I'm just going to go for it. And if I miss, I miss. And then when I get onto the platform, I'm 100% confident in my own ability there because I've already kind of done it without anyone around me.
Has that developed over like years of competition or like, has it always been like that or has it changed like over the years?
I think it's kind of developed over time, especially through COVID, because I had to train in a garage by myself for like 12 months. So I realized that it really worked well for me to train by myself. I don't perform any differently training around people. If anything, I train worse because I train slower when I train around people. When I train by myself, I train really fast, get it done, like kind of in and out sort of thing. Whereas when I'm around people, there's a bit more chat, a bit more banter, and then I can get a bit more distracted with my training. But when I'm by myself, that doesn't happen. And I love training alone, and that's just me personally.
And I guess it feels like you're competing alone as well.
Yeah, it does. Well, I walk out on the platform by myself. It takes an army to get there, as they say. Like, there's a lot of people behind the scenes that are doing things to help me get there. But at the end of the day, the athlete walks out on the platform by themselves.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. So, yeah, do you have any questions or any topics you want to cover regarding arousal?
No, I think that's good. That's everything. There's nothing.
All right. Yeah, we can wrap it up here.
Yeah. Done.
All right. So thanks for tuning in into this short snippet, I guess. Yeah, of Coach's Chat with Steve and I. I'm Bobby Tan from Perth, and I'll see you guys in the next episode.